Luca Turin knows smell. He's a biophysicist with an uncanny ability to sniff out molecules and describe them. His talent is revealed in a new book called The Emperor of Scent by Chandler Burr. Burr says Luca Turin's fascination with smell was obvious early on when he was 4 years old and his parents took him to the south of France.
And he spread his arms and he started smelling things. He would be analyzing the garrigue, which is a kind of a spice, an herb that grows there. And he analyzed the wind. He analyzed the smell that sunlight in that climate on the Côte d'Azur made on his skin.
As an adult, Luca Turin wrote a guide to perfumes, rating their scents. One called Python, he dismissed as belonging in a tree-shaped diffuser dangling from the rearview mirror of a Moscow taxi. But another perfume, Rush by Gucci, Turin wrote, felt like a warm breath whispering crazy things in my ear. In his book, Chandler Burr describes how Luca Turin's obsession with perfume turned into a quest to solve a scientific mystery. How we are able to smell. The prevailing scientific wisdom is that we smell molecules based on their shape. The problem that Luca Turin unravels, and that Chandler Burr writes about, is that some molecules smell the same even when their shapes are different.
There are several bitter almonds, molecules that smell of bitter almonds, that are shaped sort of in a general way, and they would try and put rules together and say, well, it has this curve here, and it has this valley here, and it has this sort of bulbous shape here, and you add those up and you get bitter almonds. Well, then along comes another molecule that smells of bitter almonds, and it's called HCN. And most people, call it cyanide. Well, this very famous little molecule is very, very simple, and it has absolutely none of the shape components of the other molecules. So the shape rule falls apart for that. So he started looking into this, and through a series of clues and very sort of weird coincidences and bits and pieces that he dredged from his memory, he put all these together and he came up with a new theory. The theory that he came up with was vibration. All molecules vibrate because all molecules are made up of atoms, and atoms are held together by electron bonds, basically electron rubber bands. And if you ping them with your finger, then they'll bounce in a certain way. You measure those vibrations and it tells you what the molecule is composed of. There's only one machine that we know that can do that. It's called a spectroscope. And he realized that there is a way to make a spectroscope out of human flesh. And the way is, of course, what's revealed in The Emperor of Scent.
Luca Turin writes up his theory. He submits it to the journal Nature, which would give him the scientific establishment's approval, essentially, if it were
very
published.
Very prestigious scientific publication, yes.
He is completely rejected. They call his theory fanciful, irrelevant. What was it that they hated so much?
I believe that what they of course will tell you, we hated the science. The science isn't solid, and there's all this sort of thing. But you look at the peer reports, and it doesn't add up. And quite literally, when you go through them, and it's only dawned on me sort of gradually, the chemists are saying that the physics don't work. You go to the physicists, and the physicists say, well, no, the physics is fine. What doesn't work is the chemistry. And the chemist will tell you, well, there's no problem with the chemistry. His chemistry is perfect. What doesn't work is the biology.
He's also butting up, it seems to me, in dealing with the scientific establishment, against almost an aversion to smell. I think he says at one point that asking scientists to smell things is sort of like asking them to take off their clothes.
Yes.
And he's also trying, though, to do something which many people can't do, which is to translate smell into language.
We have a sophisticated human language for describing painting, the colors that we see, the techniques that are used, the texture of this. We have no language for smell. We have no language for the sense. And because of that, smell remains an unknown territory. What Luca does that I think is so astonishing is he makes this inaccessible terrain open to us. The power of his perfume reviews is that power.
Let's illustrate this. There's a section of your book where he takes a series of vials and has you smell them with him, and he describes what he's smelling. And I wonder if you could read that section.
Yeah, I was in his office, and he would take out these little vials, and he would shove them under my nose. And these are pure molecules. And he would say oxane, and he would say sweaty mango. And you'd smell it, sort of inhale hesitantly, and it would go up in your nose, and you'd think, my God, it's this hot sweat on a ripe mango. That's exactly what it was. His ability to describe it is absolutely astonishing. He added to me, the odor is a shimmering mixture of sweat and tropical fruit with a green marijuana-like note. He said it's used in perfumery much as trombones in the orchestra, imparting an edge and a rich bloom to virtually any composition. He did another one. There's a molecule called Vertilon, and he described it as mushroom liqueur. You smell it, and you think, my God, it's the only way you could possibly describe it. There's another molecule, gardamide, grapefruit and hot horses. And he said it's the horse you get from removing the saddle after riding.
So he's picking all of this up at once. It also seems he is not at all afraid of the repulsive smell. In fact, he says that French people seem to understand that smell should encompass the whole spectrum of things. And I'm thinking of his description when he talks about an extremely pungent cheese from Burgundy.
Yeah.
The ways different people will react to that smell.
You know, every great perfume, by the way, has some terrible ingredient in it, some horrible smell. It has to. The French have always created perfumes according to this formula. One example that he uses is the smell of rotten cheese. And he said to me, and I'll quote him here. He said, "Your taste in smell is part biology and part culture. Everyone who smells rotten cheese the first time, take Époisses, where you smell it about three rooms away, and one that is even more rare and heavenly and makes the Époisses Spartan by comparison, a Soumaintrain from Bourgogne. When they smell that, Americans think, good God. The Japanese think, I must now commit suicide. The French think, where's the bread? Why? The quality of decomposition. Amines, short-chain, aliphatic, volatile fatty acids, the typical products of decomposition of organic material. You know, that's what's in cheese, and it repulses us, and it absolutely mesmerizes us.
After having spent all this time with Luca Turin and immersing yourself in the world of smells, I wonder how you have changed.
Oh, it's completely changed me. I go down from my building on East 38th, and I turn the door handle, I open the door, and suddenly things come at me, and it's like seeing things. It's the smell of the flowers at the Korean store next door, and it's the smell of the exhaust from the taxis. And when the trees bud, you can actually smell the leaves. It's a completely new dimension. It's not that I have become more sensitive to smells in a weird way, although obviously I have. It's that I can now, and here I've got to jump and use a metaphor from another sense, it's that now they were always there, but I can see them, and I never could before.
Chandler Burr, thanks very much.
Thank you very much.
Chandler Burr is author of the book The Emperor of Scent, a story of perfume, obsession, and the last mystery of the senses.